Hi, and welcome to Teaching Humans on Air, Episode 3, and today I'm joined by Robert Dodd. Bobby, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right, as Sean said, my name's Bobby Dodd. I'm the principal right now at New Lexington High School for about 4 or 5 more days, and then I'll be the principal at Gahanna Lincoln High School in Gahanna, Ohio, right outside Columbus. This is my third year at New Lexington as principal, and I taught here for many years before that. And I'm making the jump to Gahanna. I'm taking over for Dwight Carter, who's going to New Albany High School. And I'm pretty excited about the possibilities, and so are my family, to take on a new challenge in my career.
All right, so you're moving your whole family over to the Columbus area, is that true?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, so you've been there in New Lexington for a while. What do you think is, before we even get into the education talk, what do you think is the opportunity ahead of you for your family and changing neighborhoods and leaving where you're from? How do you feel about that?
The opportunities for my family is definitely going to be culture and diversity. Big difference between New Lexington and Gahanna, and that's something we're all excited about. My daughter already is involved in volleyball. She's getting to be able to meet a lot of new people and make new friends. And I have a younger daughter that's going to be in the third grade. And she'll be able just to experience different things in life than you can experience. Really, only 45 minutes away is how far we are from Gahanna in reality, but some people think it's a world away. So we're pretty excited about it. And also, for me, professionally, the challenge will be it's a bigger school. I'll be able to touch and reach a lot more kids, be able to communicate with more kids, experience different things with kids. So that's what I'm excited about. And also the staff, too, is a lot bigger. And there's a lot more diversity with the classes that we offer at Gahanna than compared to New Lexington. A lot of times just due to size.
Right now, for people who don't know this, the school you're going into, Gahanna, has a lot going on. It's a big school. It's an urban district. It's got one wing of it that is an incredible piece of architecture for learning. And, you know, you and I have both met there a few times, and I think it's, wow, what an incredible, incredible looking school. And then what's happening inside it is also inspiring. I know that Dwight had, when I visited, was really good about connecting me with other teachers in the district and kind of always deferring me to the people who were doing the real work, which was really neat. Not that Dwight, of course, hadn't been doing amazing and great work. You're going into some pretty big shoes, right? I mean, Dwight's incredible, incredible principal, and he set a standard. And when I heard they went out and got you, I thought it was a perfect fit. What did you learn from Dwight?
Well, in the past year or two, he's been a good influence for me. I've learned to look at things in a more broader angle than I did before. So really, and that's been through my whole PLN, really, is I've been able to expand how I view education and basically how I view creativity and innovation and how we did. And then I would take those things here to New Lexington. I'd be able to share those with the students and the staff. And now at Gahanna, I'll be able to do the same thing. So I really, from him, I've been able to take away how to look at things in a different light than I have before when I was a principal and a teacher. And that's really inspired me in my job and in education to try different things and take risks. And I've been able to share that with my staff here at New Lexington and also the students. And we've been trying to do it with the community is do different things, take chances, take risks. Sometimes you're going to fail, but hopefully when you fail, you're going to grow from those things. You'll get some feedback from those failures. And hopefully in the long run, it's going to help our kids and our teachers learn more about mastery instead of just about grades and about the way things have always been done in education. So Dwight's been able to help me see that. And like I said, my PLN has been able to help me with that too.
Well, I think you and I joined up online. I don't think we didn't meet in purpose. In person, I think, until eTech, which was an incredible time with OETCX and all that fun stuff that was happening. And I've definitely been, you know, following you online now for about a year, and we've been having chats back and forth. To kind of dive into it, I guess, what are you learning in the PLN situation that you can take away? Sometimes I feel like it could be an echo chamber. Sometimes I feel like we have a need to broadcast more than we have a need to listen. What are your thoughts about interacting online and the PLN that you've developed? And I'd love to start kicking around some ideas about how that all looks for both of us.
All right. Well, the way I like to do things is I visualize. And so when I'm visualizing, I take ideas from people. I take thoughts from people. Well, basically, there's 140 characters and any links with it. And I take that and I process it and I visualize and I think, how am I going to help use this to help my kids or my staff? I mean, that's just what I do. And so it may be something about completely different than what we have at New Lexington. It may be a topic or a subject, something that we don't offer, something we haven't tried. But I try to visualize it and then manipulate it so I can use it in my work, in my everyday life, and that's how I approach it, especially with Twitter. I'm not so much caught up on following certain people. It's more I take it all in, and like I said, the word visualize just keeps coming up. But that's what I do to try to help. And basically, it's about helping people is why I use it. And I just presented at a conference last week where I was telling people that may not be on Twitter. The fact is, it's not so much about being on Twitter or being on Pinterest. It's about utilizing tools to help more people. And I mean, that's what I'm about. That's why I'm in education. So that's how I use it.
Yeah, I think one of the things it's done for me is it's really brought out the idea that there's a lot of great people in education out there. You know, I think sometimes we can get stuck in our microcosm that we're in. You know, and I taught at a school that, you know, had 160 students total at one point, where the English department's three people. You know, and when I taught in that environment and I wasn't connected to other educators, you know, I mean, the inspiration only goes as far as the two other people I can bounce ideas with. And, you know, that isn't always optimal, because what if those two people aren't awesome or, you know, they don't do a lot. And for me, I think developing a PLN, developing a network of educators, I think the thing I've loved most about it is how local it is, that it doesn't feel to me to be this big international thing. I mainly use Twitter to connect to a lot of other Ohio teachers. And it's because I'm going to meet up with them, right? We're going to bump into each other places. And probably my favorite thing is to start a conversation on Twitter with people and know that when I see them, we're actually going to carry out that conversation live. It's an exciting thing that I find using a PLN like that.
I agree. I mean, that's when you're able to carry out those conversations. Like I went to a national conference earlier this year, and I was able to do the same thing with people from all over the country. And it was like I already knew them. I was able to sit with them, maybe share different meals with them, go to different sessions with them, and we could talk and talk about things that could help me and help our community and help our kids. And that's the reason, you know, that a lot of times I go to conferences is not to be there and say, oh, I'm here. It's to help people, like I said, and help me get better and help our school get better. So I agree with you. The PLN, those conversations, you can, it's like you're having conversations away from the conversations you can have in person. Obviously, that real life connection is a little bit better than doing it online, and you can expand more and maybe spend more time and really get to know somebody. But I agree with you. That's one of the best pieces of having a personal learning network like that.
So when you get in these national conversations, right, and I've been in a couple myself. I was at EduCon a couple years ago, and that's one of those big national conferences where you get to meet all your heroes, right? I mean, one of the best things about EduCon was to, I don't know, be chilling at a fire with Chris Lehman and Shelley Blake Plock and Gary Steger sitting there. You know, it's funny to me to read these people and think of them as these kind of figures, and then entirely different to be sitting around a fire, on an evening, having a conversation with them is one of the most rewarding things I've ever had. But what conversations do you find yourself having at that scale when you do talk to these thought leaders and, you know, kind of in talking to them, you become one? What are you discussing? What are the topics that you guys are looking into?
I tell you, one of the things I can remember was I was talking with Brad Curry, and we were talking about, and he and I met through Twitter, and so we were talking one day in the hotel lobby, and I'll never forget, he just said, we were talking about the conference and how it was going, and he said, you know, we're pioneers in this thing. There's not too many people still that are utilizing their PLNs the way they should. And I thought about that, and I was at that conference, and it was the National Secondary School Principal Conference. It was in Dallas. And, I mean, it was true. You could tell, like, they would have back channels going, and there just weren't many people on there utilizing the back channels to get conversations going. Now, that's not always something that you have to do to be successful. I realize that as a principal, but it's still something that I think you can grow professionally from, and a lot of people weren't utilizing it. And that's one of the things I took away from it. And then one night we went to dinner, and not to be name-dropping or anything, but Todd Whitaker was with us, and he sat with us at a table, and I was down on his end. There were about 20 of us there. There was a lot of nationally known educators there and principals, and we had some good conversations. And it wasn't so much about education, but it was about more things in our personal lives. And you get to know people a little bit more and better, and you get to know what inspires them and kind of what drives them. And so you see their character, their avatar come up on Twitter, and then you know a little bit more about them. So you can have different types of conversations with them and how maybe certain things in education may affect them personally in their lives. So just conversations like that at these conferences that I think you can learn. And one of the other things I've learned was being from a small district here in Southeast Ohio, I always just kind of felt like I had to be on these type of so on social media to keep up with everyone else and what they're doing and stay up with that trend, so we're not cheating our kids here. We're giving them every ample opportunity that other people have. And one of the things I learned was we're doing a pretty good job here at New Lexington and the innovation that we're using, the technology we're using. So I was pretty impressed with ourselves and our district, the fact that we're utilizing good things, and it kind of showed me that we need to let more people know in our community the good things that we're doing to help the kids and actually down the road to help our kids grow so they can come back and help our community grow. So that was something else that I learned when I attend different conferences of how well that we are actually doing here in New Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about the stuff you're doing, and you can just casually, I love it, in conversation, you just casually drop like, oh yeah, we've got a makerspace, or oh yeah, we've got teachers and these awesome teams. You know, and as somebody in a district that doesn't have that, I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's sometimes I don't think about that stuff, and you just have conversations with people, and that's another good way to help yourself grow. And like I said, that visualizing is someone says, well, we have that, and then the next thing you say is, well, how do you guys do that? And then a conversation gets going, and it's not so much has to be done on social media, but like you said, when you meet with people at conferences or different places, you can have those conversations, and you learn how to do different things to help your building.
Well, I want to go back to this idea of not, you know, that there's not many people doing it, right? When you go to the national conference and you're like, it's just, we are still in the very early stages of something incredible. You know, and I've read Mike Clay Shirky, and I think a lot about the transition we're in as humans with all the technology we have and how the internet's come in and what an incredible new opportunity this is for just the whole concept of education. As you're having these conversations with people about how few people there are, I always talk about a need for astronauts. And going along with the need for astronauts is a need for a space shot, a need for a Kennedy-esque, you know, we're going to the moon in 10 years. As a teacher, you know, and with you being a principal, one thing on the teacher end I notice a lot is a lack of that vision that Kennedy illustrated, right? A lack of somebody saying, we're going to say something bold and then as a district go out and do it. And I know that's wrought with politics, right? It's wrought with stakeholders. It's wrought with how will it affect kids. It's wrought with a lot of things. But what is your view on this whole idea of being an explorer, being an astronaut, being kind of one of these new people? Is it fun to you to shape what it's going to be? Or is it as perilous as some people might think?
Oh no, I definitely enjoy it, because what you can see is growth, and that's a lot what I'm about. And you can see kids and staff members and actually community members starting out from something, you know, the roots of it or the foundation, and then building up. I think that's all about education, about what we're in it for, at least I am. So no, I don't. That kind of stuff, it's like I talked about earlier about risks and rewards and failing and feedback. You know, sometimes things aren't going to work every time automatically, but it gives you an opportunity to fine-tune it, change it, And well, that happens here. Sometimes we try things, and we'll sit down and say, hey, it didn't work. Let's try doing this. And, if it makes us look, I don't know, I guess the word bad would be in the community's eyes, we could say, yeah, we tried something. It didn't work, so we're doing this now. We do it all the time. Excuse me. It's just sometimes it's not a focal point, or it's not so much seen or advertised in the community.
Cool. As you can tell, I'm outside, and I think the neighbor's lawnmower just started. So I'm going to hit mute real quick, walk on in. Actually, I'll walk and walk at the same time. It should be an adventure, right? Here's the first.
Cutting his grass at 8:30, huh?
Yeah, I've got those kind of city neighbors. You might have to get used to this idea.
Got to get after it early, I guess.
Yeah. Before they head off to work or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. What's in your crawl right now? I like asking people that. What's the thing you're struggling to figure out and get on top of right now in education? What's the big challenge you see in front of you, aside from kind of the, obviously you're moving your whole life?
Right. Right now, I'm trying to come to grips with these whole standards and standardized testing. I'm sure a lot of people are, but I feel like I'm pretty well read in education. I feel like I do a lot of professional development daily, so I try to keep up to date on things. The technology portion I'm pretty good with. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable on those things when it comes to how it can help our kids and our staff members in our community. But the portion now where, the state can't really make up their mind, it seems like that's what I'm really struggling with. Because it affects all of us, and I don't think people will realize how it affects us all the way down into the classroom, where you basically have teachers asking you, what the heck am I supposed to be teaching? Well, that's a great question. Right. So, it gets you to, I'm not so much focusing on standards or assessments, but at least a guide for them, so then they can do what they need to do in the classroom to get kids to grow. So that's what I'm struggling with right now, but like I said, that's common. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, I think this whole need for measurement is something that's pretty interesting to me. I think one of the interesting things to me is always the shape of education, right? And I keep always doing this triangle that at one end of the hierarchy is me sitting in a classroom with the door shut and 30 kids in front of me wondering what we're going to do next. On the other end of that scale are it's mainly politicians, right? It's governors, it's legislators who are kicking around at the top level kind of the framework for all of this. If you go, if you wonder who's governing lawyers, it's other lawyers. If you wonder who's governing doctors, it's other doctors. But in education, who governs teaching and learning in our public schools isn't other educators. As a matter of fact, most people determining how education looks at the grand scale aren't educators. They're business people, and you can tell because they use business speak. And so I think a lot about the translation problem between what people at the top of the structure with their need to assess, with their standardized everything, with their measurement tools and data teams, how far that is removed from what I do actually on a day-to-day basis in a classroom with the door closed. And my need for assessment and my need for data seems to be entirely divorced from the kind of data and the kind of assessment that is needed to feed the machine at the top. Am I seeing it right? Is that something you're seeing too?
Yeah, I mean, what it basically boils down to me is you're focusing on these standards and on the testing. What it does is it affects your classroom teachers because it doesn't allow them to teach the way they want to teach. It doesn't allow them to focus on the things they want to focus on, maybe take risks, creativity, use more of that in order to get kids to show some growth and show that they've mastered something. Because as a parent, that's all I care about. My kids come home and say they got this grade. It's all about, did you learn something? Because I know going back to when I was a student, all I cared about was getting those grades. And I look back now, I can't tell you what I learned because I was too busy memorizing things, and then the next week I forgot what I memorized because I wasn't learning it. I was focusing on a grade. So, yeah, when you go back to the legislatures and all that, I think, like you said, that it's business people speaking business speak, and it's people focusing on things that aren't necessarily about learning and establishing growth for our kids in our state.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really interesting is that what we're involved in, what you and I are involved in, along with tons of other educators, both locally and nationally and internationally, is kind of taking that power away. Before we were able to connect in the way we are now, we had all had to languish separately, right? And it would all be done through memo. The idea that we can now talk back, right? We were before the audience of these dictates, and now that we're not only the audience of it, we can also comment on it and steer the conversation where we want to steer it. I'm noticing that there's a flattening between your level and my level, right? There seems to be a flattening of the hierarchy as people become more connected, and leadership becomes something different. Leadership doesn't become a title. It becomes more of a, well, the leader, you know leadership when you see it. Can you talk for a second about the leadership that you're seeing develop at different parts of that hierarchy and how those things interrelate and talk, how people talk to each other like that?
Yeah, the leadership skills that you develop utilizing the PLN or utilizing your colleagues is huge, because if we can take those leadership skills and not so much, and I like going back to Seth Godin's book, Trides, it's not so much looking at managing things, it's more about leading things. And if you get in a building or in a district where everyone realizes that we're all leaders, even the teachers, that your building is going to have growth. You're going to build a culture in your district and your community where you have more leadership expectations and more opportunities for leadership for all these teachers and your administrators, and everybody's seeing things kind of through the same lens. So you're talking about flattening things out. I think if we and a lot of times when you get on, utilize social media, or you access discussions with your PLNs, you can see those things. They're just happening right in front of you. It's not. I think that everyone in there is pretty much comfortable with the way they lead, and they're comfortable being a leader. And even when I discuss things with teachers, I mean, these people are leaders. And like you said, it flattens out, and it creates, now all of us are having more of the same expectations for our schools and our communities and our kids and our staff. And that's a great thing about a PLN. Now, the only thing is getting that message that we're all having the same type of leadership philosophy, or we all want everyone in our district to lead, is getting that message to the community and letting them know that things have changed in education. They're not like they used to be. It's not, you know, the principal is the leader, and then everyone else works under him, and they take orders from him, or they or directives from him or her. It's everyone's leading. And I think, like you said, that flattening out, it's easy to do with the PLN. I think we can all see it. It's getting that message to the community and letting them realize that things have changed in education.
We'll kind of wrap up here. I've got one last question I'm curious about is, how did you get into education, and what made you decide to get into education in the first place? You know, I got into it because I hated school. I was one of those advanced kids who would sit in a classroom as angry as could be at how boring it was. And I decided one day that I wanted to become a teacher because I didn't think it had to be the way it was. I thought it could be a lot better. So I'm one of those, like, if you can't beat them, join them people. Mm-hmm. What got you into this in the first place? And how has the person who decided to become an educator, how does that person reconcile with the person you are today?
Well, that's a good question. Now, I share this story a lot with kids, with community members, because I think it's a story about where we are in education, where we used to be, and where we're going. But when I first was in college, a lot like a lot of other people, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I just took classes, and I was at John Carroll University, and so I had to find something to major in. But a lot of things interested me, but I didn't want to do them the rest of my life, I didn't think. So I majored in history, and I got a degree in history. And then my parents, my father is an attorney, and my older sister is an attorney. So I said, well, with a history degree, you can go to law school. So that's what I did. I went to law school, not thinking I wanted to be an attorney, but thinking, well, maybe it's something I could do. So again, I went for 3 years or more schooling, kind of putting off the inevitable that I had to make a decision to do something. So I did that, and then I said, well, I'm not really sure this is what I want to do. So that's a very expensive decision to make, but you know, I've learned a lot of things from that schooling, and I've used it in my life. You know, basically after I left law school, I've been utilizing those skills. So I went, and the tech boom came out in the late 90s, and I was thinking, you know something, this stuff interests me. I see a future somehow, some way for this. So I went and got a bachelor's degree in information technology, a BS in it. And that kind of took me, kind of gave me a springboard where to go. My brother-in-law was the technology education teacher here at New Lexington. He got promoted to an assistant tech director position in the district. And down here, there's not too many people with tech backgrounds, and there's not too many people with the vocational license to take jobs. And the principal asked me one time at a teacher appreciation dinner, because my wife was already teaching, if I'd be interested in doing it. And I said, you know something, why not? I mean, I didn't have any education classes at the time. But I don't know, something about my wife and I had discussions, and she said, you'd probably be pretty good at it. And I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be a teacher. Now, my mom was a teacher for 25 years at elementary level. But I don't know. I just never thought I'd do it. And I got in the classroom, and I struggled the first 3 years like a lot of teachers do. You know, but I took my classes at Ohio State, and I did that and balanced it. And it was more about learning experiences and getting to know kids is what I found out. And so I got to be decent at it, I would say. I'm not going to tell you I was good, but I got to be decent, and then I got to be better. And then I decided I'm not sure. I think I can do more. And that's when I got the administration a license. And at that point, you know, I went to one other district to teach in between there. I went to Crooksville, which is right down the road. I taught there for a year, and I got some good leadership experience there in different teams I was involved in. And then the position in New Lexington came open, and I got the principal position. So the reason I got an education, there really wasn't one. It was a position for me. But then I realized as time went on how much I've been able to enjoy helping people. And I've grown so much from my beginning philosophy as an educator of being one of those people that was all about grades, all about giving out assessments, all about, you know, we have an assessment on Friday. This is your grade. Your grade is this because this is what you got on the assessment. It wasn't so much I wasn't focusing on, did these kids learn anything? Did we do different projects? Are the kids learning how to get from point A to point B and why they're doing that? I wasn't doing that. And I started growing more as an educator, and that's kind of led me to where I am today. So it's a long story, but I guess there's a little bit behind it. The fact I tell kids that you may not know what you want to do when you're 18. You may not know what you want to do when you're 30. But at some point that you're going to figure it out, and the switch is going to flip on for you. And it sometimes it just takes longer than it does for other people.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Ralph Waldo Emerson is one of my favorites. Really set this idea of you focus on who you're going to be, not what you're going to do. You know, what kind of person are you going to be? And that usually after you decide what kind of person you're going to be, the what you're going to do about that kind of comes as the world comes at you. You know, and it sounds like you've kind of surfed the curves a little bit. And just been ready to be the right person before having to worry about what job you were going to do. And I think that's admirable stuff. Well, Bobby, thanks for joining me today. I really love the opportunity to just have the kind of discussions that I get to have with people so that other people can see them. Because I think it's in the connection between leaders that leadership spreads. You know, I think there's something about that. So thank you so much. And you know, we'll be talking, I'm sure, soon.
Yeah, no problem, brother. I enjoyed it, and like, you know, I always enjoy speaking with you. You got a great mind, and you're a great educational leader. And yeah, I appreciate you letting me take some of your time and speak with you today.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, man. Later.
Cheers.